welcome everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we are proposing to change the way that we all listen to and experience the world. At least that's my intention. I want to have a different experience lots of the time. So thanks for joining me today. This is March 11th, 2025. And I do have a guest today, the amazing Mo Abdelbaki. Many of you know him who are regulars on this show. He's a Vedic astrologer, tarot master, and Renaissance man, which to me means he knows a lot about a lot of stuff. So our conversation usually does involve the tarot. It involves a lot of mythology. You know, we just go where the flow takes us. And that word is a word that I want you to take away from this show today is flow, because I think that's a lot about what's going on this particular week. And of course, when can, you know, is there ever a time not to just kind of learn to go with the flow and know when to control and when to slow down, when to speed up, and just even be able to just pay attention to the flow. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to get Mo on the show. But by way of announcements today, I want to make you aware that there are 3 days, three consecutive days of sales this week on 12listen.com, the psychic hotline, you know, the line where you can talk to a number of people about many, many things and get support, get information, get, you know, just whatever you want. So on Wednesday, of course, we're celebrating 12 day. We always celebrate the 12th of the month. On Thursday, we're excited because it's a full moon that also happens to be the first eclipse of 2025. That is a total lunar eclipse that is going to occur, like, in Pacific time, it's 5 minutes until midnight. So if you are a late night person and you live in a place where you're going to be able to see that eclipse, you might want to, maybe not. Lots of people, I'm sure, will sleep through it, but that's going to be on Thursday. So we will have a sale on 12listen that day as well. And of course, on Friday, Mercury, the planet of communication and thinking, moves into a retrograde pattern. So we are also having a sale that day. Now, of course, I want to say we're celebrating, but a lot of people, when they hear retrograde, they're like, oh, celebrate? What are you talking about? But personally, I like the retrogrades. Those are, you know, opportunities for just checking in with ourselves, for going a little bit deeper, for seeing things a different way. And just as I said, a lot of times, you know, you want to think that life can change or that the flow can be different. Well, I think we really need the opportunity to take a step back often in order to kind of realize some things, to have some revelations, to have some insight. Because most of the time, if we just get, you know, we just get into those daily routines, we get into, you know, one thing after another, and we're just on autopilot. And, you know, are we really stopping to pay attention to things that might be important to us? And so that's it, just the opportunity to kind of slow down a little bit or to think in a different way or to look at something differently. I think those are the most valuable things in life. I truly do, because they lead to that insight. They lead to you know, to being able to just figure out a little bit more about your life. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 days of sales. And also I will announce, I have kind of been toying with this back and forth because I was born on the 12th of the month and this is my birthday on Wednesday. And a lot of times I do work that as 12 day, but this year, because we're going to have those Thursday, Friday sales and because of some other things, you know, plans that people wanted me to participate in and I want to participate in, I think I'm going to take Wednesday off. But what I will do is I will post a very special, maybe I'll even call it the birthday, you know, TBS, time-based session. So I will post something that you can purchase on Wednesday, on 12 day, even if I'm not going to be there. And of course, if you have a specific time that you want to talk to me on Thursday and Friday, you can also schedule an appointment. And not just on Thursday and Friday, you can request a scheduled call anytime you want. But this is going to be a great week for checking in with advisors and getting advice. And like I said, just getting some support. So check that out on 12listen.com. Now, I want to talk just a few minutes I hopefully will not get carried away, but just a few minutes on those things that are going on this week, specifically the full moon in Virgo and the Mercury retrograde. And the full moon in Virgo, which is that total lunar eclipse, is, as I said, very late Thursday evening. If that's something you want to see, then check, you know, your local listings and see. But just, you know, to kind of throw out some ideas, and then Mo will do the same thing in terms of how he sees full moons and lunar eclipses. But I see them very much as paying attention to the flow. Because if you think about it, those lunar cycles, it's that continuous flow of every single night. You know, at first we've got the sun and the moon in the same astrological space. They look to us from planet Earth like they're together, which is why on a new moon, we can't see any light. And then very slowly, but consistently, the light grows night after night after night until we reach the full moon. But even that, that's not static. Once it hits the full moon, then it starts releasing the light. So every single day, every single night, there's a little less light. So it's very indicative of what I would consider project development. Because we get an idea, we start gathering our resources, we start doing something, we start, you know, really building something into something, and then it becomes the full moon. But once we hit that full moon, well, you know, it's time to do the unveiling. What have we got here? Is it time to sell the product? Is it time to offer the service? Is it time to reboot and do something else? You know, what have we got here? So think of that too. It's a time of unveiling in that total moonlight when we hit the full moon. But when those full moons are also a lunar eclipse, which happens, you know, usually two, sometimes three times a year, it's a very potent symbol of release that eventually leads to new beginnings. So even though the new moon really is the new beginning, the release starts on the full moon. So it's a time that, you know, we really can come to astounding, you know, revelations in our lives, understand something, see something really differently and know where we're going to go next. So, you know, some people say eclipses can feel like resets or reboots. And we all know that, you know, whether it's your phone or your tablet or a computer, all of a sudden, you know, something goes haywire and you simply turn it off and let it reboot. I mean, not always, but a lot of times, just doing that reboot resets everything. And eclipses can sometimes feel like that too. And because this is a full moon, I see it as intuition is flowing at full throttle with all of that moonlight. So, you know, this is a really good opportunity to kind of tap into the intuition, tap into the magic of it. And one thing, there's lots going on with this full moon, but the one thing that really drew my attention is the fact that Saturn, the planet of discipline, organization, how we order our lives, how we structure our lives, Saturn is sitting right next door to the sun. And actually, it's going to be perfectly conjunct, astrologically speaking, with the sun on Wednesday. But it's still going to be really, really close on Thursday during this full moon. So once again, when we look at the characters involved, so to speak, it's kind of like, you know, a stage play. And so here's Saturn and he and the moon are, you know, or not the moon, he and the sun are sitting there together. So when I see that kind of energy combining and the sun is ego, it makes me think that, sure, if some people could look and go, oh my God, it's Saturn, you know. So is this an advantage or a challenge? Well, I think it could be both, but I certainly think that that means that one of the messages for this particular full moon is to look at how we structure, organize, and discipline our lives. Now, all those words sometimes can just feel like, oh, but the truth is, we're the ones that give it the structure, to give it the mold of what our life, you know, what all the energy pours into. So this is good when we get a little more cognizant of what that looks like. You know, are we taking charge? I mean, that's what it's about. Saturn is, to me, about taking charge of your life, understanding your own authority, sometimes really understanding what your limits are too. You know, not trying to push against something that, you know what, that's not going to change. And or it's not your responsibility. That's not something you can control like other people. So here again, when I think about this full moon, the words that come to me are flow and that organizational feeling. Control and flow. So knowing what we can control and what we can't, and adjusting our flow as we can. Those are very powerful tools so that we're not like pushing up against something that we're never going to change, but we're also taking responsibility for what we can. So it's an interesting kind of full moon that we've got. Then the other thing that I want you to pay attention to certainly does have to do with that Mercury starting to move into a retrograde motion. Now, that's not going to happen until Friday. But as you can imagine, just like when we're driving a car, you don't go into reverse just automatically. You don't throw it from going forward to going into reverse. You have to stop first. So that, in a sense, is exactly what Mercury is looking like to us this week. Like it just stopped. It's just sitting still in the sky. But the other really magical thing is that it's hanging out with Venus. The two of them, in fact, today are together. They're together in the sky today. And because both of them are moving in retrograde motions, they're going to kind of dance around each other. And I'm interested to hear what Mo's going to say about that. But I see it as they really are a power couple, you know, combining their energy. They're trading secrets and they're talking. They're comparing notes and sharing trade secrets. You know, how does that work with the mind combining with Venus, the planet that has to do with our values? So it's an interesting kind of, I mean, to me, I'm excited about this. I don't know exactly what it'll look like or how it'll come out for any of us, but I feel like it's exciting. And I don't remember the last time that the two of them were retrograde at the same time. And like I said, kind of dancing around each other in the same signs. That's the thing. They're in Aries. They'll both go back into Pisces. And then they'll come back into Aries again. So I think it's one of those things. I'm going to be watching it with delight, I hope, and just seeing how that all works out for us. So just to give you a few specifics, and remember, if you read Mark's Power Peak, which is that online newsletter, which I hope that you are subscribed to. It comes out, it's free, comes out every Saturday night. That will describe, you know, the different dates and when, you know, everything astrological happens in terms of the moon and the planets moving. But the retrograde of Mercury starts this Friday, March 14th, very, very late. Again, it's very, very late at night when it starts. And then it ends on April 7th. So that's a period we're talking about, the 14th through the 7th, but it, as it retrogrades, it's going to be at 9 Aries, and it's going to go back to 26 Pisces. So if you want to look at your chart and say, hey, do you have planets between 9 Aries and 26 Pisces? Well, that may be a place in your life where it's really affecting you. You're really changing your mind about some of the issues that are associated with those particular planets or associated with those particular houses in your chart. So this is going to be an exciting, you know, period coming up. And once again, just take notes. Just pay attention. And it is going to be full of imagination and artistry and creativity and intuition. And I think for some people, this is going to be a time when something really gets awakened in terms of a creative impulse or possibly a new relationship. Or they make, you know, they start studying something new, or they make a commitment to some kind of personal development. So it's going to be an exciting time. So that's all I have to say, at least for today. So let's welcome Mo onto the show. Hey, Mo, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am pretty good.
Good.
So, but I know that we have very mixed and different, you know, feelings about things. So I thought every time when I was preparing this, and even when I was writing about it in the last few weeks, I thought, I wonder what Mo thinks about Mercury and Venus hanging out together.
Well,
I just want to hear what you think about it.
Well, you know, Vedically, this is all happening in Pisces.
Uh-huh.
And that is the very epitome of the mythology of the whole myth of the Piscean myth, of the Piscean story of Eros and Aphrodite tempting the beast, because not only is it is it Mercury and Venus, but it's also Rahu, the beast.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's right. The north and south nodes of the moon.
Right. So it's the north node of the moon, the great demon, and it's also Mercury and Venus, and they're in Pisces, which is the great raging water. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on. It's an immense amount going on there. And it's kind of thrilling, really. And this is where the eclipse will take place. Mm-hmm. So I always look at eclipses as an axis, a north and south axis. And where is the moon going to be? Because that tells us an immense amount. Is it the tail, the cauda draconis, or is it the caput, the head of the dragon? Because that, to me, is the emphasis therein. In the Vedic system, the tail of the dragon, or the south node, is this whipping, thrashing tail of the beast, you know. Mm-hmm. It rules
and
things
it's
like,
in Virgo, right?
It is. It's actually in Virgo, yes, exactly.
Yeah. It is in the Western system, too, right now.
Oh, yay. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. you know, so it's in the same place. And so what's cool about that is that it rules things like wires and rope. And I mean, it's kind of, you know, kind of a visual onomatopoeia, so to speak. Uh-huh. I like that. And there's this wonderful imagery that it also, since the head of the dragon, the caput draconis, is this greedy, gnashing, teethy, and it's right near the sun, which, of course, it has to be, either one of them has to be near the sun for an eclipse to occur.
Right.
And these, of course, are the nodes, which is where the moon goes north and south of the ecliptic, or we wouldn't have eclipses. And if you're near Stonehenge when one of these things happens, it's very cool. But that's a different story altogether. So the mouth is greedy because it wants to snarf everything up. And we're seeing that right now. We're seeing that emphasis with Mercury and Venus there, the idea of the mental aspect and the love of things and the mind being set on things, and the fact that they're both retrograde is just fantastic. It really is, you know. It's this wonderful, amazing, it just couldn't be. I mean, astrologically, you could write a book about this time.
Oh, yeah.
And these, yeah, and then what's going on with the retrograde right now with the two of them, as you said, dancing right near each other in this way. And they are tied together because they're mm-hmm. only, at the time of the eclipse, they're only going to be a couple of degrees apart.
Yeah.
So they really are tied together. As a matter of fact, it's almost prophetic when you think about it. That myth of them having taunted the beast to the edge of the cliff. Yeah, it's like, yes, this is wonderful stuff. And if I didn't know better, I would say, well, and not that I don't know better, maybe that's how these things work. Maybe these great myths were prophecies. God, I hope not. Ragnarok is a pretty dismal one, you know, but the thing is that it ends up okay because they jump off the cliff tied together and they make it, they survive. Otherwise, it would be like, oh no, you know, mm-hmm. this doesn't work out for them. But the axis of that is on the other end, and that is, of course, and I like to use Tarot as well because the Hermeticists, knowing that they were being persecuted and at times even worse, executed, and if not that, at least their stuff being taken away and absorbed into the church. I mean, things have been bad before. Frankly, a lot worse than they are now, you know. Mm-hmm. Things have been pretty bad in the past, and it's the similar sort of mindset. Let's take free thinking. Let's take people whose minds are open. Let's take people who like to think differently than we do, and let's smash them into a little bit of dust here. And let's take their free thinking and make it bad. And let's, you know, force them to to grind them into this little puddle of goo, you know, and force them to kneel to us. I hate that type of thinking. I've hated it since I was a kid. And I've fought against it, not fought, I have my whole life, and with varying results. I will say varying results. And now that I'm an old man, getting older, it's still going on. What the hell is wrong with us as a species, you know? And this is what we're seeing. So here we have what's happening in this eclipse. On the other side of this axis is the moon and the South Node. Now, the South Node is idealism, spirituality. And it, there in there, in Tarot, in Virgo, is the Hermit.
Yes. Which is the card of the year, as far as I'm concerned, because it's a 9-year.
Aha, there you are. And in that Hermit, we see, and the Hermit, remember, is St. Anthony, right? Mm-hmm. And St. Anthony he just got sick and tired of what he was seeing. So he said, adios. Well, he didn't say adios, but he did say so long, farewell. Goodbye forever. Boom, boom. So, you know, goodbye, my Coney Island baby. And he took off. And people followed him. And he said, stop following me. And they followed him. And he went into a cave. And they, you know, he built a wall, essentially. Or they built a wall. I've forgotten the story. And they threw food to him. And he survived. And he was canonized, not because he was, murdered, but because he just... You know, it was his example. And the thing about the Hermit that we need to remember is that he follows his path so that we may follow ours.
Yes. See?
He follows his path so that we may then follow ours. And I think that's very important. In the Crowley deck, he is following, which is a very good deck, you see. He follows an Orphic egg, and that's an alchemical symbol. It's a green egg in the color. I won't get into why it is what it is, but it has a serpent around it, and eventually that serpent will fertilize the egg. It cracks it. It goes inside of it. Is it an hermetic or an ahermetic? I think we could argue that a little bit, but I don't think we shall. So it's but it's this wonderful symbol of it's about reproduction, but it's more than that, because in Hermeticism it covers as above, so below. So it's this concept of truth, and he's following this great truth. And it means so many things, because it has to, you see. The Hermetic truths are, and it's the Emerald Tablets of Hermes Trismegistus, a person who I don't believe ever existed. It was a title like Pope, you see. Pope is a title. It's not just one guy. It's a concept, right? It is a guy, obviously, but it's much more than that. And back then it was a concept as well, but it wasn't even really real. Let's face that. It's the concept of the three, the Roman, the Greek, and the Egyptian knowledges brought into one concept in one place, and that was Hermeticism. So in following that, he holds his lamp low so that he illuminates the path, and that's the beauty of it. We follow the Hermit's path because he illuminates the lamp while he follows his truth. And that's where the moon is. It's there, and it is absolutely alone, because I don't have Uranus, Neptune, or Pluto in what I do. It's alone with the South Node.
Well, and it is in the Western system. You know, it's sitting over there in Virgo, and everybody else is in the other part of the sky.
Boy, there you are.
Yeah,
there you are.
That's exactly, like you said, all those things are lined up in Pisces and a few things in Aries.
Right
now. We've got
Mars now squaring, right? Squaring. Mm-hmm. The whole shebang, as we say. And that is true in the Vedic system too. So Mars is this pressing energy, and it's saying, I'm going to make it tough on you. Just like just like the government is now saying, guess what, folks, it's going to be tough. You know, we promised you things, but I'm sorry. Oops. Oops. And so, but the sky is saying the same thing, but for a different reason. It's saying it because this is a difficult time. This is a difficult time on us, but how do we work these difficult times? We give you certain gifts. Now, Jupiter in the Vedic system is in Taurus, and the Vedic system is the sky system, the way it is actually in the sky. And Jupiter likes Taurus. It gets along very well with Taurus, right? Because it gets along well with Venus. Actually, Jupiter gets along pretty well with just about everybody.
Everybody, right?
Yeah, it gets along pretty well. And so it's saying, okay, I'm going to get along pretty well with this process. And it's trining very nicely with this process, which has to do with the spiritual path. Now, Jupiter can be lazy, let's face it.
Right? Yep.
I think. Yep. Likes to take the easy route, you know. Jupiter likes to lay around, but it can also, it likes expansion. So it might like the easy route on this, but at the same time, there is this powerful energy that says hard work is necessary because of Mars, right? Mm-hmm. But also, with that Jupiter aspect, it says that it shouldn't be as hard as one thinks, as long as one enjoys it. See, that's what I get from that. Mm-hmm. So this is a time, you know me with the eclipses. Don't go look at them. They may harm you.
You don't like to look at them. Yeah.
But in this case, I don't say that. Mm. This is the one in my deck. The Hermit card is Captain Ahab on the Pequod, you see, which, as we know, is a doomed ship. The Pequod from Moby Dick, for those of you who don't know what that is. Captain Ahab is monomaniacally focused on revenge. And I happen to think that that's where, that this is a theme right now in a certain place. The White House. And so I think that that there is that same energy there. Yes, I'm being political. That's okay. I'm sorry. I happen to think that that's part of the problem. But if someone is truly generous of spirit and is truly willing and wants to help others, then one cannot go wrong, I believe. You may make mistakes, but you make mistakes because your heart is in the right place. But when one is focused and becomes a hermit. See, the hermit who is viewing spirituality and is saying, I'm seeking my path, my true path, there's a difference because you lead others to their truth as well. I believe that. Mm-hmm. But when one is focused on something that is based in anger or hatred, then one cannot but help to lead others to the same end, I believe. Mm-hmm. Those who follow that person. So we must be very careful what we follow, I believe. And I think that this is a time for us to follow the right path. And I think that with Mercury and Venus in retrograde and will be hovering, as you said, because Mercury will be direct, stationary, right? Stationary direct at that time, or just stationary. That it is, they are saying, we must look inwards. We must seek ourselves and do much searching of our own souls at this point, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, in that story of Moby Dick, which I consider personally to be the finest thing I've ever read in the English language, because it's so beautifully written. I mean, Melville, I don't know how he did it. It's just beautifully written. But the only reason that Ishmael, who is the protagonist of the story, the only reason he survives is to tell the tale. That's all. There's nothing special about him, but he's saved in order that he may tell the story, because it's such an important moral. And I believe that that's why That's why stories are told, to transmit something. And if there isn't something to transmit, then the story isn't worth telling sometimes, I think.
Yeah.
And there is a story, boy, I'm really full of it today, but there's a story in this eclipse that begins in 2 days, 11 hours, 24 minutes, and 40 seconds from now. And that's fantastic. This one means something to me. And I think it should mean something to everybody, because this one has some power to it. It's got a lot of punch. Your turn.
Well, I love what you were saying about the mythology. And from this perspective of, you said, well, I think it's prophetic. Oh, well, I hope it's not. But you know what? That's why the stories exist. That's why the mythology exists. It's because since the beginning of time, humans have tried to figure out what the background stories are. And so, you know, that's it. Just like, you know, at the fireside, you know, the hunter says, well, I remember when I was chasing the deer, this is how it worked. Well, all those mythologies developed out of human experience, and often trying to explain what the experience is. So I love that, because, and I've been telling people this, you know, if there's hope, or in times that just look, I know I'm just going all over the place, but it's kind of like when you're looking at something and you're going, I'm just feeling hopeless, or this is the worst time that I can ever imagine, or, you know, and I know a lot of people, that's how they're seeing it. Like, I, you know, how do we live through this, you know, and just, you know, for a variety of reasons. For some people, there are aging issues. For other people, it is political. You know, but it's easy to look at the world and just say, what have we come to? But as we look historically, we realize, do you know how many people have said that? I mean, that is the story of the earth. We go through cycles, and sometimes it feels, I mean, like I've told people, you know, I spend a lot of time with my dad, and he likes to watch on TV two things. I call it the Hitler Channel and sports. That's what he likes. And, you know, I used to resist that so much. But of course, I'm doing it to spend time with him. So what does it matter what we're watching? So unless it's something incredibly offensive, you know, I just watch it. So I become quite the sports fan. But the other part of it is watching all of these documentaries on World War II, as much as that would seem depressing, it has actually built hope in me, if only because, you know what? It can get a lot worse. And we have always, well, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, it's almost like you look at the perspective of what I think is just the worst. And it's like, no, this is not the worst. And or that this is the story of mankind. And, you know, I don't know who originally first said it, but it's like, if you don't study history, you're bound to repeat it.
Right.
And so it actually, I mean, I feel like I'm on this, I almost want to say a continuum or a teeter-totter between the hope and despair. Because on one hand, it's like, have we learned nothing in thousands of years? Have we learned nothing that war does not work, that revenge does not work, hatred does not work? Have we not learned that? And I would honestly say, no, apparently we haven't. Yeah. But I also realize that's it. We go through cycles where we learn something. And I'm not one of those people who literally says, oh, yeah, we're getting more enlightened. But on the other hand, I just feel like we're always on the precipice of really getting it and of really understanding. You know, that is always possible. So in some ways, I feel like we are such, as a species, we are such a mixture of kind of good and bad and smart and dumb and whatever.
But it gives,
but it gives me hope, because I realize we've pulled ourselves out of pockets that have been much worse than they are now. And like I said, it also makes me realize that in a sense, we've been doing this forever. So at what point do we individually, and I think that's what happens, we individually just say, as you had said, if you are coming from a place that what you might say of love, or a coming from a place where you're just letting the flow, the divine energy, you know, your own higher self come through you, you're going to say the right thing. You're going to do the right thing. It's not about just knowing exactly which side to be on or what to do. It's more a matter of being in the moment and understanding that each of us have unique gifts, unique right. talents. And it's not about emulating somebody else. It's not about, you know, I mean, in fact, quite honestly, I'm so tired of the word influencer, you know. Oh, I don't want to be yeah. influenced, you know. But in any case, it's just about finding our own gifts and accepting them and being that person and being in that moment that you can change a life, you can support a life, you can do magic literally by just being in the moment and right. paying attention to what's going on for you or what's going on for another person. And so, like I said, as much as it sounds weird, I watch all these documentaries on World War II and it actually gives me hope, you know, right. but it is also, these are the stories of mankind. These are the stories. And, you know, let's not deny our history. Let's not deny our stories. And also go back to the mythology of what's at the basis of it. If the basis of it is there's not enough to go around, and so I've got to get everything that I can, or that, you know, the whole idea of greed, you know, I do deserve something more than somebody else. This is all the mythology. And there again, astrology for me makes that come alive. You know, like I kind of joke around. There's somebody in my life and I feel like every conversation I have with her, every other line is, well, what's in it for me? And or she'll say, well, what about me? And she's got six planets in Leo. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's it. When I hear that, it's like I realize that driving force of Leo of saying, I've got to be me. I've got to find my identity. I've got to figure out where I fit in this. She can't say anything else. You know, that is what's driving her in this particular lifetime. That is what is driving her. So there again, studying astrology, looking at Tarot, understanding the I Ching or all the ways that we as humans have come up with categorizations or, you know, these mythologies, they really help us understand both our sameness and our diversity.
Right. Well, I think that mythologies and a good novelist is a mythologist, I think. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. They do two things. One, they really explain nature, mm-hmm. if they do it well. They explain nature in a way that kind of explains, okay, that's why there are eclipses, you know. So if you have a mythology that tells the story of Balder the Beautiful, you know, and he dies, and that's why the sun is dark for 6 months out of the year. That's not an eclipse. That's if you're north of the certain latitude, like Norway, right? That's mm-hmm. the story. And so you go, okay, that's why the Norse believe that story, or why they believed it. And they also explain human nature. For example, Rip Van Winkle by Washington Irving, right? It is a remarkably funny, sad story. And you read about Rip Van Winkle, and you're reading along, and you read about he's this guy that everybody loves. And it kind of go, well, he's just this lovable guy, but he's henpecked, terribly henpecked. But everybody loves Rip, especially the wives of the village that he lives in, this Dutch village back in, you know, the late 1700s. And the reason is because he's so henpecked, that he's so tame and docile that, you know, he's the favorite of the village because he'll do anything for anybody, just about anything, just so he doesn't have to be at home. You know, that's kind of the implication. And you say to yourself, that is such a, because that's kind of a stereotype that we still carry through today in these in these television shows with the docile, meek, stupid husband, you know, that has been on TV. And you think, wow, these guys are always really well-liked. And I thought these are the mythologies that we have that started 200 years ago in these novels that are still true today. And they are myths. And they what they do is they explain human nature. When I read that, I thought, oh, that's amazing. Because that's a mythology, but what it does, it is explains humanity in a certain way. And it's really cruel on the one hand, but on the other hand, it seeks to explain, for example, Ichabod Crane, right? The whole point of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, yes, it's a great Halloween story, but the whole point of it is to show what a jerk Ichabod is. And in the end, Washington Irving tells you that he becomes a crooked politician.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to read the end. Most people don't go that far. They don't figure that out. He becomes a crooked judge and then becomes a politician. And that's the end. That's the whole point of the story, is to kind of show this mean-spirited guy who he's a teacher and he hates kids and he punishes them. But at the end of the story, he becomes a crooked judge and a crooked politician. I think he becomes a politician. He's a bad judge anyway.
Yeah.
And you go, oh my God, that's really what this story's about someone who goes to, up the Hudson River to the Catskills, and he's trying, and all he does is he wants to marry rich so he doesn't have to work. That's human nature. And you read these old novels and you realize that these are myths, but what they really do is they're talking about we as human beings. And that's what astrology does too.
Yes.
It tells these tales of humans.
Mm-hmm.
And it does it really well.
Yeah. Well, and a book that I've been reading recently on just the whole idea of grabbing attention, you know, it's called The Siren Call. But in any case, what's kind of funny, and I mean, in here again, some of these things, maybe I knew them, maybe I didn't, but it's based in history. It's based on a lot of research. And one of the things he's talking about is when the printing press was invented, there was a whole revolt, a whole group of people, because they were pushing out all these novels or they were pushing out all these pamphlets. All of a sudden, you could just print all this stuff. And what were they complaining about? Our kids' minds are going to be ruined. You know, they're printing all this stuff and our kids are reading it. And what's going to happen to the minds of our children? And I mean, I'm laughing because I'm thinking we have not talked about not evolving. You know, just this past year, they've been taking books out of schools, you know, our kids' minds are going to be ruined. And yeah. I'm not saying that that isn't true. Of course, we want to pay attention to who, you know, we are associating with. I mean, that's what I think we ought to pay attention to in terms of kids, is who are they associating with? But, you know, who are we associating with in terms of authors or books? But it's just funny to think that that's not a new idea. I mean, whenever, you know, new things come about, then there's a whole revolt about how it's going to ruin life. It's going to ruin our minds, you know.
That's the word ruin is the word there. But, you know, they're true. They were right. That invention changed humanity.
Oh, yes, it did.
I mean, I remember when I was in the sixth grade, Dick Gregory wrote a book that I can't even pronounce the name of it. It was the N-word. And it was in my sixth grade library, you know, in grade school. And I checked that book out. It wouldn't be in there today, of course. And it inflamed me. I was crazy after I read that book. I was 12 years old. And I thought, my God, what's wrong with this country, you know?
Right.
And they yanked that book out of the library after a few months, you know. But it was like... And there were other books that I read, too. I remember reading Abby Hoffman, Steal This Book, which a friend of mine had stolen and loaned to me.
Oh.
And I gave it back to him. But I should have kept it and stolen it from him. But I did. I'm not that kind of guy. But there were, I mean, that was one of the most outrageous inventions of all time. The other one was the electric light bulb. which changed humanity completely. I mean, we can't even begin to understand how much that changed humanity. The Morse code, not Morse code itself, but the telegraph changed humanity.
That's what I was thinking, the telegraph.
And those things happen so quickly. Well, Gutenberg, I mean, of course, you know, I mean, the printing press, that was unbelievable. Of course, the Chinese things that happened with type and, oh, my God, I mean, just things at all, hieroglyphics.
Yeah.
That was a biggie.
Yeah. But so the thing is, and please don't hear me, anybody saying, oh, yeah, you know, there should be no discernment. There should be no discretion. There should be no anything. But I'm just saying this has been the beginning of the time, you know, from the beginning of time. Humans, I mean, like I said, if anything, it makes me laugh. I'm not sure we've ever changed.
Oh, we are.
I'm not sure we have ever changed. And it is up to us individually to sort of enlighten ourselves.
Right.
You know, to understand ourselves.
We have to, and that's the whole point. We can't, when we brand something as, we have to think. And that's the whole point.
Yes. That ought to just be a big poster. We have to think.
We have to think, you know.
Yes.
And one of the things that astounded me more than anything else was when I discovered, I mean, it was not, I didn't discover anything, but when I learned that there was a book that was called the Book of Standards, and it's a book that the Nazis put out. And what it is their book of uniforms, basically, and standard emblems and insignias and so on that Madison Avenue used for decades to sell. And it sold so well that I don't know if it's still being used. But when you see it, and you can see it on the internet, you know, all you have to do is put in Book of Standards, Germany, you know, that sort of thing. And it's absolutely incredible to look at. And it's just their uniforms and this and that of the different, you know, orders and all that stuff and the rings and the insignias and all that. But it was used by advertisers to sell to us. And it worked, and it probably still works, because it was about selling. It was about people accepting what they put forth. And you think,
and human nature, that's it. Going to the bottom line, human nature.
That's right. Exactly. How do you get people to accept what you want? Well, and it becomes the new mythology, you see. And so it's incumbent upon us to recognize what they're saying. Why is Cap'n Crunch so popular? I mean, if they'd called it sugary gravel, would we have liked it as much? I would have. I would have appreciated it even more. But, you know, when you Cap'n Crunch, it was the myth of this Horatio Hornblow Crunch, which is what his name is. I loved it. And, you know, the catchy Gilbert and Sullivan tune that goes along with it, you know. And, I mean, I was a kid when that came out, 61 maybe, you know. I was just a little babe. No, I was not a babe, but I was young. And you know, you have all these Count Chocula, Count Dracula. Count Chocula, Frankenberry. These are monsters, but kids love monsters. So that's what you do. And you take these old, I mean, I just, there's something almost sinister about it in how they sell to us. But those are the myths that they, I don't know. See, my mind is kind of spinning right now, but that's fascinating, isn't it? When you think about that.
Well, it is. And like I said, I've so enjoyed this show. I truly have. Just the many things that you brought up, and I'm glad you're excited about this eclipse, because I do know that many times, you know, you don't feel as happy or as excited, and you probably won't stay up and watch it, but who knows?
Oh no,
but
I'll be in bed. Our dog gets up early.
Yeah, right. Me too. But, you know, it's just, it's these are exciting times. And just remember, we are standing kind of on, you know, a balancing beam or something where, you know, it's up to us to keep putting one foot in front of the other, what we're going to pay attention to. But just being there again, more cognizant of what do we think so that we're not just on autopilot and just going with our feelings. Let those revelations come in.
Right. Yeah. I think this is a personal eclipse for people. I like that. That's how I'm going to put this one. I think this is one that can be very personal. And you don't have to watch it to take part in this one.
No, you don't.
All you have to do is I would do a personal meditation of some sort. You know, all you have to do is just say, okay, I want to be a part of this one. I want to feel this one. Meditate. Ask for some guidance from whomever is listening and let that be your guide. Say, I want to improve myself, my spiritual. I'm probably going to talk about this on my show tomorrow afternoon.
Okay. Remind us, is it 3 Pacific?
It's 3 p.m. Pacific. Yeah.
Okay. 3 p.m. Pacific on 1-2 Radio.
As live as I can be. Which, you know, one never knows.
Yes. All right. Well, we need to wrap this show up, but thank you so much for being here today. And do you have any announcements that you'd like to make?
Just that I'll be on the radio tomorrow and that that's it.
All right.
Thank you so much for having me this month.
Well, thank you. This has been a great conversation. I mean, I feel more hopeful than I did in the beginning. So that's always good news, right?
This is a good one. This is a really, really good one. I like this. These are tough times, and the skies show it, you know? Yeah. And that, there's nothing – can't mollycoddle this, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Neither should you lollygag. Yeah, so let's get all those old words out. Yeah.
And take care of yourself. Yeah.
But follow your path and it will be shown upon.
There you go. That's great advice. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you, Mo, and everybody who joined us today in our private group. Thank you very much. I see your comments over there, and thank you. I really do appreciate your coming over and joining us that way. And thanks to everybody who listened to this live or will listen to it in an archive. Hopefully you'll do that before that eclipse on Thursday. Thanks to our producer, Serena. I also would encourage you to, you know, keep it tuned to 1-2 Radio, because this is the week, the day that I join Kelly Whetstone on her show, Empowerment. So we'll be back in just a few minutes with the monthly meeting of the minds on Kelly's show. But before we close, I do want to give you a quote for the week. This was actually in the Power Peak, but I just kind of ran across it this week, you know, one of those little things. And it's by Vladimir Nabokov, who was a professor and wrote a lot of stuff. Anyway, the quote is, revelation can be more perilous than revolution. And I love that, you know? Allow yourself to be inspired and to have revelation in your life. That's what's going to change. Oftentimes, things that we think can't change. So this is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology with my guest, Moa Abdelbaki, on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way that you view the sky, that you view astrology and life in general. So thanks a lot, and I'll talk to you soon.